Thank you for joining us here in our study of John chapter 14 on the Radio Bible Course. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." To whom was Jesus speaking when he said those words? He was speaking to believing disciples. Judas had left. The 11 are with him, and his promise includes his return to get them. And for what purpose, we might ask? So they could be where he would be. This tells us that whatever heaven is, it's going to be a place that's in the presence of the most wonderful person in the world, Jesus Christ. If you have been taught that you are going to some other place until you are good enough to get to heaven, remember that Jesus will not be there. The Bible doesn't tell us that there are waiting places or training places or places where you'll be purified. Jesus said, "I will come to get you so that you can be where I am." Now, the fact that he said that means that we will have an escort to heaven. Jesus will be our guide. When I travel to the Bible lands, I often take 30 or so people with me, and I am their escort. I take them to the many biblical and archaeological places. However, I won't be their escort, even though many of them are in my Bible classes. I will not be their escort when that trumpet sounds and the dead are raised. Christ is going to be our escort. He won't come to the earth, however. He will come and meet us in the air. So it is written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 16. "For the Lord himself," it says, he's not going to send an angel to get you, "for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words." Friends, if you meet anybody who is worried that he has not been good enough or has done too many evil things in this life, if that person believes in Jesus Christ to save him, remind him and comfort him with this: Christ is going to take you with him, and you will be with him. For how long? Forever, it says. You'll ever be with the Lord. The Lord himself will be our personal escort. He will descend from heaven where he is now. He's been there almost 2,000 years, but the promise is still good. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that tells us that God is purposely delaying the return of Jesus Christ until his right time to send Christ back to raise the dead and to gather up those of us who believe to be with him forever. The ones who are going to be raised, according to this passage, are those who are in Christ. I don't often deal with numbers except when they are significant, and in our little grace booklet, which we give away to our listeners, we say the word grace is found 155 times in the New Testament, and only one time in the Synoptic Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which deal with not the Christian faith, but those deal with Jesus in Judaism under the law. But after you get into the Gospel of John and the Epistles, then you are dealing with the Christian faith, and there you will find 154 more uses of the word grace. Now, with regard to the words in Christ, what does that mean? You find it every place throughout the New Testament. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." In Christ? What does that mean? This is a New Testament expression that is truly wonderful. It has to do with believers being united to Christ by faith. It is found 196 times in the New Testament. That is significant. Think of it. Almost every page of your New Testament, beginning with the Gospel of John, will have this reference several times, in Christ. If you are in Christ, you have everything. If you're out of Christ, you have nothing. You're lost. How do you get in Christ? By believing. Faith puts you into Christ. It makes you one with Him, so that when God looks at you, He sees you and Christ together. That's the truth behind the words, in Christ. So in 1 Thessalonians 4, when Paul wrote the dead in Christ, he meant real believers. True Christians shall rise first. This is comforting, is it not? Because we've all had to bury loved ones, and we will continue to do that. We've lost precious people, but they were in Christ if they were believers, and they will be raised. You won't get to heaven any sooner than they will, and they won't get there any sooner than you will, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. There'll be this great gathering of the former dead and the living, and we'll all be snatched up, according to this passage, to meet the Lord in the air. And He will say, come along, follow Me. And He'll take us to the place prepared for us, and we'll be with Him for how long? Forever. There are no dropping off places to get you to clean up in order to get there. You'll go directly, because if you believe in Christ, you are clean. You've been bathed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's His promise. You don't need any further refinement or any in-between place for purging. But don't we need purging? Aren't we all sinners? We are sinners, and we sin even after we believe. But we have been washed, the Bible tells us. That's what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 9. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, Corinthians. Such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified, but you were justified. Listen to that, would you? This is a wonderful thing for anybody who has had a sordid past. You may be ashamed of your past, but that's all washed away when you believed in Jesus Christ. Obviously, heaven is going to be a great place because we're not going to have people practicing those kinds of things there. You don't have to have any fears about being swindled up there like you may have been swindled down here. No one will try to seduce you in heaven, and no one's behavior will offend you. Thank God. Our behavior won't offend anybody else up there either. Now the question is, can homosexuals and adulterers go to heaven? Washed ones can. That's what the Corinthians were. Paul wrote, such were some of you. Notice, were. That implies that they were not doing that anymore. God changes people. When a person believes in Christ to save him for eternity, He also saves him from a shameful lifestyle. That's God's purpose, and change is expected. The new commandment of love forces one to change, because you can't treat people as you did before. And if you love Christ, you want to be an example to others so they will live lives also which can glorify God. That's what the commandment of love is about. It covers everything in this Christian life, and without love, it can be a very shameful life because you might be living for yourself and do what you want and not be concerned with anyone else, much less the Lord. Now, the things that Paul wrote here were said about believing Corinthians in verse 11 when he said, and such were some of you, but you were washed, sanctified, and justified. We better know what those words mean. How are we washed? Well, when Paul wrote to Titus in chapter 3, he said, we were washed by the washing of regeneration. When you believe in Christ, the Spirit washes you and gives you a new life. And with what are you washed? You are washed by the blood of Christ. It washes away our sins. Now that's cleansing. And it's referring to one bath. Jesus talked about that in the previous chapter of the Gospel of John, when he met with the disciples at the Last Supper and he began washing their feet. And Peter objected. He said, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you won't have any part of me. And then Peter changed his mind. And he responded, well then, wash me all over. And Jesus came back with the answer that you don't need to be washed all over. Once you have been bathed, all you need is to wash your hands and your feet. Bathed? Yes, you've bathed when you have put your faith in Christ to save you. You are washed completely of every offense that could keep you out of heaven. The Bible teaches us that there is one bath, and that bath is thorough. So these Corinthians were washed, and it says they were sanctified. What's that mean? That means they were set apart by God as His property and as His people. And He marked them. He no longer looks at the believer as part of a big mass of humanity. He sees His own people set apart for redemption. That's being sanctified. And then the passage tells us that they were justified. Justified? That doesn't mean you are making yourself right, or that you are righteous. Justified is a declaration by God that you are right, even though you are not. It's something that He does. Now, how can He do that? And I ask that because there are so many people who just refuse to believe that they are declared right by God. But that's a biblical truth. It's not a lie. It's not a perversion of truth, because God sees in the believer faith in the righteous one. And the faith in the righteous one means Christ's righteousness became their righteousness. And God therefore sees that faith in their hearts, their faith in Christ, and says, you are righteous in my sight forever. So justification is a declaration that you are right, and it comes from the highest court in heaven. Friends, you'd better believe it. And if you walk around in this life thinking that you are not righteous in God's sight because you have believed in Christ, then you'd better go back to the basics and start reading the Gospel of John all over again. Jesus promised eternal life repeatedly to everyone who believed in Him and did nothing more than believe in Him. What does the Bible mean by believe in Jesus Christ in order to be saved? We think our booklet, which is free, entitled Heaven's Password, will answer most of your questions. Write for a copy today. Heaven's Password is free. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.com.